Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
This weekend I'm preaching the second message in our series we began last weekend called Believing is Seeing. It's about believing Jesus Christ. And when you believe Him, your eyes are opened and you begin to see Christ everywhere. You see Him when you read the Bible. You see Him in history. You see Him working around you. You see Him working in your life, in your church. If you're lost, you will have trouble seeing Jesus. But let me also add, even if you are saved, for whatever reason, if you've taken your eyes away from Jesus Christ, you may believe the Bible, you may believe in God, you may believe in the resurrection, you may believe in all sorts of things, but if you have lost your vision of Christ, Christ is working, but you can't see Him. So this is a message for not only the lost who needs to see Jesus, but also the saved who need to go back and see Jesus. The message is called Looking for Grace and Truth. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now pay attention to this last line, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. What John is saying about Jesus being full of grace and truth is not just when Jesus came into this world, but those two things have been His attributes even before He came into this world. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. And again, those same words. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, who is close to the Father's side, He has declared Him. If you want to see Jesus, whether in this world or before He came into this world, look for grace and truth, and there you will find Him. When we travel long distance, I don't know if your family does this, but if you have little kids, they love playing the I Spy game. I Spy something blue, or I Spy something with the letter J, H, whatever. Now, I'm not playing that game, but the moment they start, guess what happens? The power of suggestion takes over, and even I start looking for those things. I mean, we've all done that. I spy grace and truth. But every time you spy grace and truth, what you see is not grace and truth. You see the person of Jesus Christ. If you remember last weekend's message, Jesus told His opponents, Moses wrote about me. Now, if you say Moses wrote about me, all right, let's see. Let's go to Genesis. Let's see where we can find Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I don't see Jesus. All right, maybe Exodus. I don't see. Jesus is not. Leviticus, Numbers. I don't see Jesus. Let's go to the prophets. Where is Jesus? If you go with that mindset that I am going to go find Jesus, you will walk away very confused, almost agnostic, going, I don't know. Maybe He is there. Maybe people stretch the truth or become very spiritual and they start seeing things that the rest of us can't. But if you go by scriptures, listen again to John 1:14. He says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw Jesus, but when we saw Jesus, we saw the Father, but what we saw was grace and truth coming together in fullness and perfect balance in this person called Jesus. And then again, in verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The point is this. If you want to find Jesus in the writings of Moses or in the Old Testament, start looking for grace and truth, and you will see Jesus as clearly as you see me this morning. Let me ask you, before we jump into this message and look for grace and truth, that's the title. Do you need grace and truth in your life? Did you know those are the only two things you really need? Grace and truth. Grace is God's compassion in your life, God's mercy that you don't deserve. You need grace, but you also need truth, which is God's unadulterated fact about you, about sin, about forgiveness. You need both in equal amount. Sometimes people come to church and they will pass a judgment like, "Preacher, you need to hit hard against sin. You need to let..." I tell you what, people are sitting here, but they're not convicted. They don't realize the things they're doing on the side. "Preacher, you need to preach hard against sin. People need to feel what's happening and what they're doing against the holiness of God." And in the early days, I would, you know, pull out my sword, and boy, Sunday morning, I would go slashing everybody, and you'd watch them go slink down the seat. They're all bleeding, bruised. They go, "Well, you stepped all over my toes today." And I'd feel so good. It's great when you already get to beat up people. I'm preaching Jesus. You know what Jesus says at that point? "I got no part in that. Because all you did was you gave one half of who I am. You gave the truth, but there is something else about me as well." And then other people come to church and say, "Oh, listen, there's enough judgment in this world, and Christians should be the last to judge. How about giving people grace? The world is waiting for you to offer compassion and forgiveness and mercy and love." And I used to do the same thing. It's like when I come here, I was like a spiritual Christian therapist. "Let me tell you how God loves you." And what I noticed was I would build them up and they'd go out there and sin like the devil. I was like, "What happened? Didn't I preach Jesus, amazing grace?" But Jesus said, "I got no part in that, because all you gave was one half of me. Because yes, I am grace as well, but it is those two coming together, not like this or this. They have to be in equal balance, and there I am." And folks, I'm telling you this morning, as many times I preach and I study the Bible, and many of you do the same thing, it is so easy for us to think we are balanced, but we're off. And the only way we can present Jesus is when those two things come side by side. Where do you get that? Right there in the Bible. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. That is Jesus. Which one do you need more right now? Do you need grace of God, or do you need the truth of God? If you need to be saved, guess what? You need both. You need to be told that you are a sinner, condemned to die. Nothing good that you have done or can ever do can save you. But you also need the grace of God to say, "But it's a free gift of God. Jesus has paid the price. All you have to do is trust Him." And if you are saved this morning, the same message applies to you as well. Truth, you are a sinner. But by the grace of God, you are who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what are we going to do this morning? Taking those two words, grace and truth, Moses wrote about Jesus. How do you find Jesus in Moses' writings? Look for grace and truth. Let's go all the way to the beginning, starting in the book of Genesis. See if you can find Jesus. And you find him in Genesis chapter 3. So we're going to look at that one chapter. You know what that chapter is, when sin came into this world. And see if we can find Jesus, looking for grace and truth. Amen? Let's begin. First one, we see the grace of God in creation. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, this was a unilateral decision. Human beings had no say in God's decision. They were not even there. Why did God make us? Why did he make Adam and Eve? Did he needed someone to help him rule the world? Was he bored? Did he need fellowship? The Trinity is perfect fellowship. Why did God create us? Out of grace. He simply wanted to. But now there's something deeper here. Who created us? You know, sometimes we think, right? We think, yes, it is God. Let's go a little further. Who made us? Go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who are we talking about? Christ, Jesus. Now listen to verse 3. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made through Him. When we talk about creation, it was not the Father who was going around, you know, poof, there's the sun, the moon, the star. Poof, right here is the animal and plant kingdom. No, it is Jesus. No one has ever seen God, the Father. No one has ever seen the Spirit. It is Jesus who is going around making things. And then He is the one who makes Adam in His own image, breathes into him the breath of life, and then makes the woman from the man. It is Jesus. Give you another reference. Colossians 1 verse 16. Paul says, "For by Him," who is Him? Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible," on and on. Verse 17. "All things were created through Him and for Him." Did you know that when Jesus made this world, it was like, look, I like this. Let me tweak this over here. Okay, I love that. It was not only made by Him, but it was for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Where does life come from? All things are consist in Him. It is Jesus. I'll give you one more reference. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul again says, "To me, who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles." What is he preaching? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Means there is so much we don't understand about Jesus. And then he says this, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." One of the mysteries is, how did Jesus do all that? One more reference, Hebrews chapter 1. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." The point is this: everything was made through Jesus. Why? Because of His grace. He just wanted to. He said, what's the application? The application is this: how do you see yourself? I'm so smart. I'm so strong. I'm so pretty. I'm so successful. I know how to talk to people. I know how to make things happen. Jesus is the one who made you by His grace. Which part of those things do you think you can really take credit for? Guess who made you? Guess who has established you? Guess whose life is in you? It is Jesus Christ. Why? I don't know. All I can say is by His grace. The grace of God in creation, but more specifically, the grace of God in creation through His Son, Jesus. But now, you see we're getting imbalanced over here. The Bible has a way of balancing us back. The truth. What is the truth? The truth about the subtlety of sin. Verse 16, chapter 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man." Now, please help me this morning if you're listening so well. No one has ever seen the Father. No one has ever seen the Spirit. Who is the one commanding the man? Jesus. He is the one looking at Adam and saying what? Of every tree of the garden you can eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil do not eat. Why do you think Jesus gave that restriction? Why do you think he gave that limitation? To show us that we're not God. To show us that we have to listen to someone higher than us. That we are not the makers of our own destiny. You are accountable to me. I made you by my grace. So I can tell you what to do or not to do. Folks, this is the same Jesus who came and fed the 5,000 and, you know, blessed the children and died on the cross and coming again. This is the same Jesus who waved his finger at Adam and said, don't you do this, because the day you do it, you're going to die. What happened? Listen to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent, which is the devil, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Has Jesus really said this? Has the second person, I know his name was not Jesus at the time, he hadn't come into this world, but I'm doing that so it will, you know, it'll make sense to you. Has the second person of the Godhead, the Word, has he indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree? At this point, the man should have stepped up and said, don't you talk to my wife. What did the serpent say to the woman? You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like Jesus, knowing good and evil. Let me ask you this morning, did Satan tell the truth or did he lie? A little bit of both. Because that was always Jesus' plan. To be in us and we in him, that we would be one like he is with the Father. What did Satan say? He doesn't want to do that. Disobey him and just kind of skip the process and become like him. So much I can say. Listen to verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Three things happened. First was the appetite. It is good for food. Sin happens because of our appetite. Something we want to eat, something we want to drink, something we want to satisfy. Satan appeals to the appetite. Pleasant to the eyes, which means he's appealing to the sense. It looks so beautiful. It's so pretty. Smells so good. It tastes so good. Desirable to make one wise. He appealed to their sense of pride. If you are like God, you'll be wise, and then you don't have to listen to anybody. You can do whatever you want to do. Appetite, senses, pride. He still uses those three things. Listen to what it says in 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, appetite, the lust of the eyes, the senses, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. By the way, this nothing is new about this. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. When Satan came to Jesus, what did he tempt him with? Appetite. You hungry? Turn these stones into bread. His senses. You see all this? All you got to do is bow before me. His pride. Fall off. Jump off the pinnacle. And you can have your angels catch you. Folks, things haven't changed. Amazing, isn't it? That Jesus gave them the truth about the subtlety of sin. There is grace in creating us. There is the truth of the subtlety of sin. Obey me. Don't give in to your appetites. Don't give in to your senses. Do not give in to your pride. Trust me. Did they listen? Did Adam and Eve obey God? No. They took the fruit, ate. She gave it to her husband. He ate as well. Both of them are now guilty. They are embarrassed. They realize they're naked, and they ran and hid themselves. If I were God at that point, I would take the whole universe and crumple it like paper and throw it in the trash can and say, let's start over or forget about this. Because Jesus in his divine omniscience, he can see everything, and he sees the future. And guess who he sees? He sees me. And he is saying, if I create this world and let it go and save this world, Abaddon is coming in this world, that rotten, wretched sinner that I have to work with in 2016. If I were God, I would have obliterated the universe as if nothing had ever happened. What did Jesus do? Well, the grace of God in coming for us. Listen to verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now keep in mind, you cannot see the Father. Keep in mind, you cannot see the Spirit. So guess who is taking that stroll in the garden? Jesus came down by his grace. And what did he ask? Where are you? You all know that. He's not looking for their location. He's asking that question, why are you hiding from me? What have you done? The grace of God in creating us, the truth about the subtlety of sin, the warning has been given, but now here comes the grace of God that he didn't say, that's it, I'm done with you. He comes down and he looks for us. Jesus comes looking for us with grace. Listen to what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation. You know, amazing? We don't have to go to God for salvation. He brings it to us. And who brings it to us? Jesus. He brings salvation, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a special people. Jesus is the one who comes looking for us. Not just in the Garden of Eden, but every day, right this moment, he is coming. Did you know that? It may sound feel creepy, but he's walking right up and sitting right next to you. Paul says again in Titus chapter 3, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, having been justified by his grace. Isn't that beautiful? You see Jesus all over the place. You see how your eyes are open? You go, wow, he's there. He's all over the place. Let me ask you again, before we go any further, can you see Jesus Christ? Can you see him reaching out to you? So you don't know what all I've been through. You don't know what all happened in my life. Can you see Jesus Christ? Now, here comes number 4. He didn't come and say, Adam, what am I going to do with you? Eve, why don't you listen to your husband? You know, if y'all had just worked together, it would have been so much better. But I tell you what, we'll take care of this. Don't you worry about this. We got this. I'll handle it. He didn't do that. What did he do? He said, someone's got to pay. Now, I'm going to pay for this. He knows that, and we're going to come to that in the next point, but sin has consequences. So he begins with the woman. Listen to Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Ladies, if you have a problem with pain and having children and all that you went through, take it up with Jesus. He's the one. The Father did not say, bring the woman here. Let me talk. No, the Spirit did not speak in her heart. It's Jesus who said, I made you and I warned you. You didn't listen to me. I'm here, but you're going to pay for this. You see how truth comes right back up. What more did he say? In pain you shall bring forth children. It's a tough one. Your desire shall be for your husband. What is the desire for? For control. Folks, I didn't come up with this. It's in your Bible. And ever since the beginning of time, ladies, that's what y'all been doing, right? I know you don't want to hear that. And guess what your man wants to do now? He wants to rule over you. Prior to sin, it was a loving relationship he leads She submits, but no one is jealous, envious, bitter, angry. It was just perfect. How about to Adam? Listen to this. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I told you, Jesus is waving his fingers in his face. You shall, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Have you ever talked to your children that way? Because you did this, there's going to be consequences. Jesus is talking this way to Adam. Like, because of this, you're going to pay for this. Everything is going to fall. What's more, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. What's the point? The point is simple. When you talk about Jesus Christ, don't have just that Jesus with open arms saying, come to me. You better also have that Jesus that says, because of this, you're going to suffer. Listen to what it says in Romans. Paul says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. You know, because of sin, we die spiritually, physically, and then eternally. But now here's the last point, the grace of Jesus in making a way. So the Lord God said to the serpent, serpent really is the devil, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. But here is grace again. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Isn't that amazing? That as Jesus is pronouncing this curse on Satan, he says, and one day, through the seed of the woman, Jesus was born through Mary. Joseph had no part in it. One day, through the seed of the woman, someone is going to come, and you're going to strike him. What did Satan do? He did everything possible to send Jesus to the cross. What did Jesus do? He crushed his head. Satan's power is broken. There is the grace again. Isn't that beautiful how grace and truth come in equal balance? And if you want to find Jesus, look for grace and truth. Do you need Christ in your life? You say, well, I want Jesus in my life. I'm lost. I need Jesus in my life. Look for grace and truth, and there he is. You said, I'm saved, but I need Jesus in my life again, and I don't know what's all happening in my life. Look for grace and truth. I want to grow in Christ. I want to know more about him. I want to study the Bible and understand what's happening. Look for grace and truth. The moment you go imbalanced, you have another God. It's not Jesus, because he's always full and balanced with grace and truth. And this morning, I know I need him. I need both. I need that in my marriage. I need that in my family. I need this in the church. Truth about sin, and yet the grace of God that covers all sin. Amazing grace.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope and pray that you will seek both grace and truth in your life. And keep in mind, grace and truth together is Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, visit my blog site at abidonshaw.com.